Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
Credit score doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Sometimes people come to me, oh, I want an 800 score. I said, bro, I've been doing credit for 5 years. I don't have an 800. I have a 790 credit score. I never touch 800. Mm-hmm. They're like, huh? Why don't you? I'm like, bro, I don't have a mortgage on my report. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go and put a mortgage or authorized use on something on my credit report just to get me over to 800. Bro, I can get anything somebody in 800 could get. I'm at a prime level. But 800 is more like a bragging right. But, you know, it's not about the score. It's about the profile.
Right.
Your profile. Somebody can come in with a 680 and get approved for something that you ain't get at a 750. It's because you don't have the comparable credit.
Yeah.
You don't have that loan. You don't have this. You don't have the credit cards. You don't have... It's all smoke and mirrors. Somebody can have nothing but authorized users on their credit profile credit score, and have an 800 credit score.
And you can't walk into no deal and get
you
nothing.
You can't get anything because that's not you. That is not you. It's basically smoke and mirrors. A lot of people bank on authorized users, but that's smoke and mirrors.
Right.
That is not your profile. That is not who you are. When lenders look at your profile, they want to lend to you. They don't want to lend to Mike, or they're not lend to Mike, Bobby, or whatever. They lend it to you. So what have you done? What have you done in the past for us to see that you're trustworthy and you're willing to pay us back? Mm. So it's not about the score. It's about the profile and what's on there.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is a father, husband, entrepreneur, investor, educator, mentor, coach, and personal credit specialist extraordinaire. He's the CEO of Diverse Solutions Group, a company responsible for helping everyday people master their credit, maximize their borrowing power, and take control of their financial destiny. With over 6 figures in debt deleted and over 1,000 clients served nationwide, he's helped consumers and entrepreneurs alike access the step-by-step blueprint needed to clean their credit, structure their profile, and make mastering your personal finances easier than it's ever been. Whether he's educating the masses on how to delete negative items like late payments, charge-offs, and collections from their credit report, or providing free value content online on how to build credit the right way, his mission remains the same: to make the tools, information, and resources needed accessible for viewers just like you to build profitable businesses, access financial freedom, and create generational wealth. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Bronx, New York, I'm here with the one, the only, my good friend, Mr. Ali Toure, better known as Prince Ali. What's going on, family? How are you?
Thank you, God. Introduction.
Absolutely, bro.
That was crazy, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I'm like, damn.
Yep, that's
I
you.
I ain't never had an intro like that, bro.
I mean, we gotta roll out the red carpet for royalty. You understand?
I appreciate that, man. Flowers to you, man. I appreciate that.
Most definitely, bro. First and foremost, how are you?
I'm great, man. I can't complain. I'm here with Marvin, bro. You know, not everybody get a chance to be with Marvin, man.
Listen, not everybody gets a chance to be with Ali. You understand? So I'm just as, if not even more excited. Very rare that I get a New York brethren that actually lives here in New York along with me to come on the show. So this is going to be one for the books, man, and I'm excited for it.
I ain't had to travel too far.
You know what I'm saying? You just had to do a little drive. You know what I'm saying? We're here.
Yeah, but we're here, though. That's all that matters, right?
100%, man. I'm excited for this conversation. Obviously, I have a really strong relationship with you off the pod, and I know a lot of the great work you've done. We talked about it or touched on it in the intro, but I really want to take a step back and unpack for people who are unfamiliar to get familiar. So for people who are watching who don't know, who exactly is Ali Toure?
Man, for those that don't know, man, Ali Toure is, my family's from Senegal, West Africa. I was born in the U.S. You know, I go back and forth very often. I like to say that, you know, I was not born in Senegal, but Senegal was born in me. You know, because who I am is basically I'm a product of my parents, you know? So all of the principles and things like that is all instilled in me. So who I am is, you know, somebody from the Bronx, grew up out here, you know, been doing door-to-door for quite some time. That's where I started off working, man. I was doing door-to-door for years and years and years, man. I'm telling you, that's the toughest thing you can ever do.
Facts.
Anytime I meet somebody that did door-to-door, they're like, damn, you did door-to-door too? Yeah, I respect you, man.
Right.
You was knocking on doors. I'm like, yeah, bro, I was knocking on doors for years and years and years.
Right.
And then let alone doing it in the Bronx, New York is crazy. Even when people hear you from the Bronx, they cringe up.
Right.
Instantly. Like, wait, where are you from? The Bronx? Mm-hmm. Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
They instantly cringe up. So imagine knocking on doors in the Bronx where you don't know a person at all. You don't know what's behind the door. You know any of that. So I've been doing that for about five or six years, man. I've been doing it in the wintertime and in the cold, knocking on houses. You know, I done had people pull out a gun, say, come in my house. I'm over here trying to get that sign up. They're like, listen, man, like, I thought you was somebody else. Literally put that gun on the table. It's been a lot. It's been some crazy years, man. But thank God, you know, when COVID happened, you know, things got crazy and, you know, I had no choice but to sit down. I had to sit down. You know, my wife was there. My wife was pregnant at the time, you know, about to give birth to my daughter. And I had to figure out a way. So I figured out a way. And I said, you know what? Let me invest into mentorship because, you know, at the end of the day, the best investment is in me, right?
Right.
So I got to invest into mentorship. I had to further my education because what you don't know is what you really don't know.
Right.
So once I started getting into, like, different mentorship, started investing in myself, started studying more, I eventually, you know, made this a credit repair business. And, you know, it's, about 5 years later now, my business is, you know, doing pretty good.
Pretty good is an understatement, but let's dive a little bit more into your backstory because you said a lot just now. So coming from the Bronx, New York, you talked about starting off in door-to-door sales.
Yeah.
Before you kind of dove into entrepreneurship, what pushed you into the sales space? Because most people don't go through school and think to themselves, like, I want to get into sales. It's kind of certain things that happen along the way that push you into that space. So what was that for you? Did you come from a family that was heavy into business or more so on the 9-to-5 side? How exactly did you find yourself?
So basically what it was is that I used to work for my father too at a point in time. My father was selling like electronic, wholesale electronics at like different Arabic stores around the city.
Yeah.
You know, Yemeni guys selling them electronics. So I was working for him as a wholesaler. I was going to the stores and be like, hey, what do you guys need? Headphones? Y'all need this? Y'all need that? They're like, yeah, we need this. So I was taking orders for my pops. So my father has always been somebody that's been an entrepreneur. Like, he can't keep a job at all. Mm. He's been extremely independent. My mom too. She was selling like food, like, you know, African food in downtown Manhattan, just trying to make a living. You're just trying to make something happen. So they was always entrepreneurs. I've always seen that. And for me, I've always been a person that like freedom. I never like to really have somebody telling me exactly what to do. Yeah. I like to do what I want to do when I want to do it, right? So that's been something that's been a part of me since I was younger.
Yeah.
And the way it happened was I went in for a job interview one time, and for some reason, man, them door-to-doors, they was marketing job application, man, they got me good, bro. So they was like, yeah, come in for a marketing job and everything. I'm like, all right, marketing, you know, it seems cool. Mm-hmm. So when I got there, they're like, listen, man, I'm having a conversation. They're like, yeah, come back tomorrow. We really like you. You look very sharp. Come back tomorrow. You know, it's your first day of training. I was like, okay, that was easy.
Mm-hmm.
They said, bring some nice sneakers and everything. I'm like, bring some nice sneakers. Yeah, bring some nice sneakers. You know, it's going to, you know, just to be comfortable. I'm like, okay. I thought I'm working in the office.
Right.
So I come in the second day. They're like, all right, yeah, you ready? You're going to be going out today with your team. I'm like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? What kind of job is this? Yes, you're going to go out with your leader and they're going to show you exactly what we're going to do and this and that in the field. I'm like, what are we doing? At the end of the day, they didn't want to tell me what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you tell somebody they're doing door-to-door, man, they ain't come back the next day,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely not.
So I went out on the field with my trainer, took me around. Trainer was like, yeah, so this is what we're doing. Just follow me. We're knocking on doors. I'm like, knocking on doors? Like, yeah, yeah, just follow me. I'm going to show you how everything is done. I'm like, all right, whatever. After everything, it was time to leave because they didn't really keep me there too long. It was about an hour or two. So when I left, I called my boy. I said, yo, bro, I just went to that job that I told you about. Yo, bro, they got me knocking on doors. He said, for real? So I called him. I wanted him to tell me, like, yo, just disappear. Don't go there no more. He was like, bro, I ain't going to lie, man. Give it a try, man, because you like to talk to people. You're a people's person. You know, you like to interact with them. You know, you never know what could come out of this. I said, you know what? All right, I'm going to give it a week or two. Stood there a week or two. Just practice, learn from everybody else, learn from all of the great people that have been doing what they've been doing because they're the best at what they did. So I'm like, how do you do this? How do you do this? How do you do this? I learned from every one of them. And I just took that, ran with it, and started implementing it, and it became who I was. So it's very much similar to like how people, you know, you want to learn from the best.
Yeah.
You want to learn from the best and then make it yourself and then, you know, deliver it the way you want to deliver it. So that's exactly what happened, man. But yeah, I've been I've been around entrepreneurs, which is my father and my mom. Mm. So that got me to where I'm at now, man.
I think what's interesting about having a background in door-to-door sales is, you know, with us being in the digital space now, it's always funny to me when we see people who talk about like, I don't feel comfortable getting on webinars and I don't feel comfortable making content. It's like, you had dudes like you that was literally knocking on a door and somebody's Dominican auntie would come out with a knife in her hand. Like, why are you banging on my door?
Oh, they would go crazy. Like, listen, if you do not leave my, if I come back and I see you on my floor, I'm putting feet and hands on you. I'm like, God, that, like, what? I'm putting feet and hands on you.
It's an entirely different experience. Cause it's like, bro, you get, it's nothing to cut your phone on, sit down and just talk about credit or whatever it may be. It's a different beast where you got to knock on 100 doors and 99 of them is people that's ready to knock you out the second you crack the door.
It was bad. But, you know, I made it. I got to the point where I was teaching others how to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I bring somebody in for observation day. When that person would tell me, yo, listen, man, hold on, let me go to the bathroom real quick. It was not just going to the bathroom. They was not coming back. I would call them up and be like, yo, where you at? You say you're in the bathroom. Straight voicemail.
Yeah.
They would not even come for their check. Like, listen, I'm not going back.
So you did it for 5 years. What was ultimately, so we're in door-to-door sales. We're getting the door slammed on us. We're making sales here or there, right? We progress. You end up spending darn near half a decade there. Where does the transition now happen from you being in there to now you starting your own business? How does that happen?
COVID, man. COVID sat me down, man. I was in a crib, had nothing to do, invested into mentorship, started, you know, investing and say, but good thing is that I've always had some money saved. I saved money. I'm not really a big spender, you know, so I had some money. So when stuff happened, hit the fans, I'm like, okay, what do I do now, Ali? Got it online, got into mentorship, started educating myself, and then eventually started the credit business. And then started surrounding myself with like-minded individuals, you know? Mm. Once I got into the business, and that helped me take myself to the next level. Because like they say, you know, you are around six broke people, you bound to be the seventh one.
Facts.
So for me, I just had to surround myself with people that wanted to go to the same, wanted the same thing I wanted,
right.
Same mission, because the mentality was completely different. The mindset, the conversation was completely different. We wasn't just talking about basketball games and things, boxing all the time. We wasn't talking about like, all we're talking about is how we're going to level up to the next level. Mm-hmm. So once I started hanging out with these people, which I always say my day twos, because the day ones are cool, but you make the blues with the day twos, right?
Come on.
That's it. Once I started hanging out with the day twos, you know, sky was the limit. Mm. We just took off, man.
Talk to me a little bit more about the beginning stages of business, because social media makes it seem like you start a business today, you make $1 million tomorrow, and like it happens just like that. But you and I know that's not the process. You came from being established in door-to-door sales to now saying, I'm a bet on me and jump into this world, this crazy roller coaster ride of business. Mm-hmm. Was there pushback from your wife? Was there pushback from other friends and family? Was there support around? What was that like?
It was a very tough time, right? So I tell people is that a lot of times people don't realize that when they're trying to elevate, they sleeping with the enemy. Sometimes you don't realize that you're sleeping with the enemy, because when you tell, they say the easiest way to kill a dream is to sell it to a small amount of individual.
Right.
So when you tell somebody like, hey, I'm about to go in this mission, I'm about to do this, I'm about to do that, and like, oh, you know what? I don't think you can do that. I don't think you could do this. Mm-hmm. Now, suppose Amazon, like Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates was ever told like they wouldn't invent Amazon or Microsoft, they would not be at where they are now. I'm sure they didn't tell a lot of people that. So for me, my wife, it was crazy because it was times when I first told her, I know she's like, damn, like this is what you sure you want to do that?
Right.
But then eventually when you start to put more work in, they start to see how it's, you know, they start to see the fruits of your labor coming into fruition. They're like, okay, you know what? This is actually a good thing, you know?
Right.
So the beginning times are always hard, but you got to stick through it and grind, especially because God gave you that vision. If God gave you a specific vision, it's because God gave you that vision for a reason, for you to have that vision. But you tell it to somebody else that shoots you down, now you'll never get to get anywhere, you know? So the times was extremely tough, bro, in the beginning, man. I was sleeping on the couch. Wife would come by and be like, what's going on? Like, you've been on the couch like a lot lately. Like everything okay?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, everything okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you sure everything is good? I'm like, yeah, everything is good. You've been on the couch a lot lately. You scared to come to the room or what? Like, nah, it's not the case. I just been locked in.
Yeah.
So I had to lock in on me and I had to focus on me because, like I said, you got to focus on you until the focus on you.
Right.
So all that time I've been working on myself and doing all that, you know, everything that happened overnight. Now I'm at the point where, you know, I'm able to teach others how to do this. You know,
right.
I'm able to help so many other people is because I had to focus and lock in. Mm-hmm. So like yourself.
100%.
You remember those times, man? We was locked in. Remember those times?
All right, amen.
Everybody was locked in, man.
The early day. And once again, it's a part of the process. And that's why I kind of frame the question I did, because it's like people will see you today and think that it was just a quick flip. And it just like there was a long period of ups and downs and L after L after L that you had to take, that I had to take to get here. And we're not even close to where we want to be. But in order for us to get to this point, there was so much that had to happen. Mm-hmm. But to your point, it was the perseverance and the discipline that you had to go through that that's now allowed you to get to this point where, I mean, I said in the introduction, you've been able to serve thousands across mm-hmm. the country through your services and through your business, now being in the credit space. And I want to kind of unpack on that because, you know, once again, you go from D to D to now you are, and a side note, what were you selling door to door?
I was selling like cable vision and energy services and stuff okay. like that, man. So, man, listen. And the thing about it is that the bad part about it is because, you know, they had other companies selling the same thing.
Yeah.
So when you came to the door too and somebody else just recently came to that door, they like, you might have had somebody that came there last week. They're like, yo, somebody was freaking here last week. Get the hell out of my door. Like people really, or somebody made a came and increased their utility bill and gave them like a bad service. Amen. So they over here thinking it's you, and they ready to
slap put, box.
Man, they ready to do more than that, man. Elbows everything on you. So I'm like, damn, that ain't me.
So we go from there to now you COVID comes, you slow down, you decide you want to start a business. You get into the credit space. It's a moment where you have to step back before you step forward. You're investing in mentorship. You're sleeping on the couch. You're locked in. Mm-hmm. You're focusing on the building the business. And mm-hmm. you ultimately create that foundation. And you do it all around this thing that for people that are from communities like mine and yours, credit is seen as very taboo. It's seen as very misunderstood. I want to kind of unpack that a bit. You've been able to educate hundreds, if not thousands, around credit mastery, something that's you've leveraged to build the business that you have mm-hmm. today. If somebody is watching this episode and they knew nothing about credit, besides the fact that like they hear people like me, you talk about it, but they don't have any background or any foundation at all, what's the first step that they should take in order for them to start building that foundation around having good personal credit?
Yeah, so the first foundation that somebody should usually take is I would say like, especially just a regular individual.
Yeah.
Usually what people can do is they can apply for, just say somebody know history, you can apply for Capital One pre-approval. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of pre-approval cards, and they also have a lot of credit builders cards where people can use them, so apply for them, use them,
right,
and manage those to build a good reputation. Because nowadays companies want to know that you have a good reputation.
Right.
You know, it's very similar to, I like to compare it to, you know, you're owing somebody money. Obviously, if you owe somebody money, you can't go back to that person asking for money. Or if somebody never had any dealings with you and that you've never dealt with them, how can you go there asking for $1,000 when you never even borrowed $20?
Right.
It's like, bro, I don't even know how if you're going to be able to pay me back. It's the same way how these companies operate. So what you want to do, what somebody want to do if they just starting is you can apply for a Capital One pre-approval
yep.
credit card. They typically may give you about $300. They may give you $500, mm-hmm. you know, or you can also apply for Discover pre-approval. They have that. Then you also have companies like you have Credit AI, which is a metal credit card. But then also you can use it, but you can never be late on Credit AI because they taking out the money from your bank account.
Automatic.
Yeah, automatic from your bank account. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. So it's like you're using your own money, but they report it and they give you like a $1,500 limit. So that's a good way to start too as well. Then you have like accounts like Covo. Mm. You know, you have Credit Strong where you can apply for an installment loan and use it and pay it every single month. Mm-hmm. They report it to the agencies every month. So that looks good on you. And then you have Self where you can apply every month. You make a payment depending on what your budget and what you can afford mm-hmm. and get that money back too at the same time. So those are credit builders. Everyone want to start at least with three to five positive accounts mm-hmm. because you want lenders to be able to trust you and look at your credit report, which is a resume, which is your walk around resume.
Yeah.
It is not like credit is a, your credit report is a resume. That's mm-hmm. what it basically is. It's lenders know what you've done in the past and what yep. you're able to do. So a lot of people may get it wrong. They may be like, oh, but why I can't get approved for nothing? It's because you don't have no history. Nobody right. know who the hell you are. Yeah. You got to build your report card up. You got to build your resume up before you ask for some money on this side.
Right.
So that's all it really is. But it's very simple to do that. Like if somebody apply for those accounts right there and yep. apply for them and keep them for about, I say 3 to 6 months, and you start to apply for like the prime accounts, like, you know, you start to move up to the Chase banks and right. these other big guys. That's the way to simply do it. It's very easy. Very easy.
One of the things I noticed, and I'm at, you kind of got ahead of me on it. You talked about like how to set the foundation, but at no point in time did you really mention anything about score, which I thought was great because I'm sure you get DMs all the time of people just like, I want 800, I want 850, I want a 750, bruh. I want a 770. And it's just like, I try and tell them, but maybe you see something a little bit differently. As we're getting ready to go into 2026, does credit score truly matter when it comes to having a good foundation?
Nah,
or is it more about
credit,
the profile?
Credit score doesn't matter. It's all about that plate. It's about what's on that, that profile. The credit score doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Sometimes people come to me, oh, I want an 800 score. I said, bro, I've been doing credit for 5 years. I don't have an 800. I have a 790 credit score. I never touch 800. Mm-hmm. They're like, huh? Why don't you? I'm like, bro, I don't have a mortgage on my report. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go and put a mortgage or authorized use on something on my credit report just to get me over to 800. Bro, I can get anything somebody in 800 can get. I'm at a prime level. But 800 is more like a bragging right. But, you know, it's not about the score. It's about the profile.
Right.
Your profile. Somebody can come in with a 680 and get approved for something that you didn't get at a 750. It's because you don't have the comparable credit.
Yeah.
You don't have that loan. You don't have this. You don't have the credit cards. You don't have. It's all smoke and mirrors. Somebody can have a profile with authorized users and have a. Somebody can have nothing but authorized users
and
on their credit profile
credit score,
and have
bro.
An 800 credit score.
And you can't you walk into no deal and get
you
nothing.
You can't get anything because at that's all. Not you.
Right.
That is not you. It's basically smoke and mirrors. A lot of people bank on authorized users, but that's smoke and mirrors.
Right.
That is not your profile. That is not who you are. Mm. When lenders look at your profile, they want to lend to you. They don't want to lend to Mike or they're not lend to Mike, Bobby, or whatever. They lend it to you. So what have you done? What have you done in the past for us to see that you're trustworthy and you're willing to pay us back? Mm. So it's not about the score. It's about the profile and what's on there. Mm.
Does where we get, once we understand that, is where we get our credit report matter from? Because those same individuals... Are I call them credit karma warriors. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them, they lean heavily on what the profile and the score is showing through platforms like a Credit Karma, or like the Experian app. Does where we get our credit report from matter, or does it not matter as much?
Where we get our credit report does matter because a lot of people may tend to bank on Credit Karma, and Credit Karma does not give you a full report. Credit Karma is Advantage, but they don't even deal with Experian. So Credit Karma will show you a TransUnion, they'll show you Equifax, but they show you like a partial report. They don't give you a full graph. So most times people are using Credit Karma, they don't fully know what's going on with their credit report.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is you can go to annual credit report, get your credit report from there, or you can even go to like MyScoreIQ. You know, they usually have like a dollar trial. You go to IdentityIQ and see what your full report is and get the full resume and the full summary and go over that. Or you could just call the agency. They'll send you a credit report. They'll send you a report for free. So there's different ways, but Credit Karma is not really it, man. A lot of people just bank on it. I swear to God, they'll fight you over Credit Karma. Like, Credit Karma said this.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, come on, man.
Bro, there's been, for even for me personally, there's been times where there have been individuals that have shown me things that don't show on Credit Karma, right? Like a negative item they have. In their mind, they're good, but then you pull their report from like one of the websites you talk about, annual credit report, and they have like two collections, three charge-offs, right? That wasn't showing on a Credit Karma. So in their mind, they're good, and the whole time, they have these negative accounts, and they don't know why they're getting denied because you're using the wrong platform to go ahead and monitor your stuff. So that's really, really good. What are some of you, what's interesting as well is there are a lot of people who watch that are parents, right? Mothers and fathers. You have a daughter yourself. One of the biggest things I hear often or get often from people who watch the show is what are some of the different things I could do to make sure my kids are set up to where they don't have to go through a lot of pitfalls that I went through when it came to credit? Are there things, I think your daughter's still relatively younger, but are there things that if you haven't started doing that you plan on doing to make sure that she has a foundation so that when she is of age, she's already has a kickstart when it comes to her credit that other people watching who have kids can start doing as well?
Yeah, I know a lot of people, what they do is add kids to like authorized users
right,
just to boost them up. I've had clients that come in and like, hey, I've had this great score. I'm like, damn, your parents really set you up for, you know, to succeed. A lot of times what you can do is add your child to authorized users in the future, you know, and help them out. And then also what that does is once you have that relationship with that company, just say, I've seen somebody with an Amex, had an Amex relationship, they added their client, they daughter on Amex, and when she was able to, like when she got a little older, she was able to apply. She applied for Amex and she instantly got a great limit. But I know it's off that relationship with the parents and also them being added as an authorized user. That instantly put them in the ball game right away. I'm like, damn, your parents put you in position to succeed. I'm like, damn, how was you able to get that as like your first credit card?
Right.
And it's not easy to get Amex as a first credit card, but it's all about the relationships and it's all about being added on that account. So I feel like, you know, once you're in position, you should definitely be able to put your kids in position so they don't have to go through what we went through, because obviously we know that we didn't learn this in school. They didn't teach us this.
Facts.
We had to learn it the hard way. That's the reason why I go to different schools and teach kids without even getting paid. I teach them. I take time out of my day. I go there, educate them about credit. Give them a little money after, because I tell them, like, listen, the more you learn, the more you earn, right?
Facts.
This right here it's going to be a tool to help you out in life, because a lot of your parents don't even know the information I'm teaching you guys. Mm. They're able to take that information and go teach their parents later on.
Right. And I'm sure that's what, I mean, because that was what it was for me. I went and learned credit, and like my parents had an understanding of it to a degree. Mind you, my parents have all these different things. They have cars they're financing, houses that they have mortgages on, but they don't even truly understand how the credit game works, where I had to be the one to educate them about all the different factors. Was that what it was for you too?
Yeah, what it was for me is, at a point in time, we got approved for our house, our apartment at that time because of my credit. So my parents never knew about really, my mom never knew much about credit. Mm-hmm. And we got like, she got like seven kids. Mm. She got seven kids. So because of me, we got approved for an apartment because my credit was probably around 640 or 650 at that time. Mm-hmm. And everybody else's credit was shot, or they didn't have credit at all. Mm. But because of me, we were able to get approved for that house.
Talk a little bit more about that. What are your thoughts on, because this is a very controversial topic, what are your thoughts on co-signing? Because obviously with co-signing, it can get very dicey, right? When it comes to co-signing for houses, cars, apartments. Where do you stand when it comes to that? Because I've heard some crazy horror stories, man.
Can I put the camera on me, Josh? Can I talk to these people? Listen, guys, when it comes to co-signing, do not co-sign anybody. Mm. Let me tell you why, right? I don't give a damn who it is. Look, it can even be your partner. Don't co-sign them. Like, ain't no co-signing. Because you might be good today with them today, but then tomorrow you may not be with them, right? You never know. And what happens is I see a lot of people get their life ruined because they co-sign somebody, or they co-sign the friend. Facts. Or they co-sign somebody. But the thing about it is that you know the friend for who they are. That's your friend. You know them. But you don't know their financial habits. You don't know who they are. We get to see who they are. We get to see what really goes on behind the scene. You don't know that they owe T-Mobile, that they owe Verizon, that they owe every single company they ever dealt business with. You don't know that because they never showed you that side. But best believe, if you co-sign them, you will find out. Mm-hmm. You will find out. And I see, and people would rather pay, they would rather lose their friendship with you than to pay $5,000 or $6,000 that they owe to that apartment or that complex. I'm telling you right now, that's the fastest way to lose a relationship. Co-sign somebody. And I'm telling you, bro, they would rather run off on you and your friendship than to pay that $5,000 or $6,000 back. Like, I see it on the daily. So guys, do not co-sign the goddamn soul. Let them build, tell them, lead them the way. Like, yo, you go fix up your credit. I'm sorry, but the way my situation is set up at the moment, I can't co-sign you. My credit is, you know, it's kind of locked. You know, I'm doing something. They told me I can't apply for anything at the moment. Give them whatever excuse you could give them, but do not co-sign anybody, because I promise you, you will be needing credit repair very soon.
The thing about co-signing.
And another thing, Marvin, right?
Talk about it, bro.
And another thing, right, is that you did, most of the time when people co-sign somebody, is that they did them a favor. Mm-hmm. They did something for them, and they didn't make any money out of it, right? Mm. And when you co-sign somebody, and now it's time for you to elevate yourself in life and to go get an apartment or to get a complex or to get a vehicle or to get funded for your business, and because they messed up, now you messed up because you share that same exact loan.
Yeah.
You can't get anything. Now your life is on a standstill, and your family can't even elevate now with you. You can't get anywhere now because you co-signed somebody.
Yeah.
So your life is on a standstill because you did something for somebody for free, and they didn't appreciate it because you called them. They ain't going to pick up your calls, and you lost that relationship, and you didn't get nothing out of it. So...
Here's the thing with co-signing. I look at co-signing the same way as like loaning money. You got to think, if somebody wants you to co-sign for them something, why? Like, what is the reason? The likelihood that your credit is in good standing, but you want me to co-sign for something is pretty much slim to none.
It's like, yeah.
You probably want me to co-sign for you because your credit is shot. Well, why is your credit shot? Because you have bad financial habits. So if I'm looking at you the same way these other banks are looking at you, why would I loan you money if Chase don't want to give you money? Wells Fargo don't want to give you money. None of these other lenders.
You know what I
money.
Say?
Talk to me.
You know what I told somebody before? I said, listen, before you lend somebody money, this is going to help you determine if you're going to get your money back. Before you lend somebody money, ask them to see their credit report.
That's it, bro.
Before you co-sign somebody, if you're going to do that, I wouldn't recommend it. Ask them to see their credit report.
That's it, bro.
And I promise you, your decisions will change. Exactly what you exactly wanted to do will completely change when you see their credit report. Because every other company said no. Mm-hmm. Why would you say yes after you've seen their report?
Bro,
just ask them to see their credit report.
There's been times I've done consultations for people who want funding, and they'll sit down with me and I'm looking at their report. And bro, it'll be, so right now we're in December. They'll have late payments from the previous month. So like, that means you're literally not paying cards right now, and you coming to me.
You financially struggling.
You financially struggling, but you come to me. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm not a magician, bro. Like, there's not really much that's going to happen here. But once again, that's the reality of it. And to your point,
if you're not careful and protecting yourself, you mess around, tie yourself to the wrong person. Now, 3 years later, you can't. Now you in the same. You in a worse position than them because now there's things you want to do you can't do because their account and their negative habits are affecting you. You've been good this entire time, mm-hmm. and now you're working 10 times as hard to get yourself out of it.
We see this daily. We see this all the time.
Every day.
And it gets to the point that I know somebody's story. I would tell them exactly their story. I'm like, what happened? And then this? And then, are you still friends with this person? No, we're not. Yeah. Did you call this person? Yeah, I did. They didn't fix my phone. I could tell them their story. I could tell them exactly their story. They'd be mm-hmm. like, how do you know all this? I'm like,
seen it over and over. Bro, we've been seeing it for like clockwork.
That's what I do.
What would you say is the biggest mistake people who are trying to fix their credit are making right now?
The biggest mistake people are trying to make fix their credit is... A lot of, even though you can't do it on your own, I say it's always good to hire a professional.
Okay.
I mean, that's my recommendation, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's the same thing. For example, you can do your own taxes, right? We can do our own taxes.
Technically, yes, you can.
We don't do it, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we can go to court and represent ourselves in court. You know that, right?
You absolutely
can. But we don't do that, right? Because we don't want to get slayed, right? That could be the difference between you, like, getting free and serving 100%. 10 years in jail because you just... didn't know you decided to bet on yourself
right.
when it comes to this. If you don't know what you're doing, and same thing, if you don't know what you're doing, why not hire somebody to do that? If right. somebody been doing this for years and years and years, you're basically paying them to save you time and you're paying them for their expertise. It's much easier when you can focus on something else. It's hard to just say, you know what? Let me just go learn the business. Let me do everything from scratch and do this and just mess up. Because when you mess up and you hand it to a professional, it's like, damn, bro, you done messed up and you done sent out so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. You done said this, you done said that. I don't know what the hell you did. Mm-hmm. Leave it to a professional. Let them do their part and you do your part while they working on your profile. But that's a mistake that a lot of people do make. Mm. Leave it to the professionals, man. Leave it to somebody to know exactly what they're doing.
To date, what would you say is the craziest credit report you've seen in terms of just the amount of stuff that someone had on there?
Oh, my God. The craziest credit report I've seen, man. I've seen a whole lot. I've seen thousands of credit reports, man. I've seen reports where, you know, people would... I've seen somebody co-sign like about two vehicles for somebody else, co-signed it. They told it's not even there. They co-signed for somebody, mm-hmm. and like literally, it's completely done because of that, right? I've seen that. I've seen 300 credit scores all the time too, as well. Yeah, Marvin, 300 credit scores, man. People didn't even know it could get like that, right?
I didn't know. I thought 400 was a 300.
Yeah, like around in the 300s. Yeah, I've seen credit scores in the 300s, man. I've seen people reports. You could look at them and say, damn, you ain't never pay a bill. And the crazy part, those would be the same individual be like, yo, please do me a favor. I don't trust y'all. Don't scam me. I'll be like, bro, scam who?
Ain't nothing to scam.
Like, it's nothing to scam. Like, do you realize that you are scam proof? I'm talking about, like, we could put your social on the billboard in Times Square right now. Everybody in there can have a competition and see who gets approved first. And nobody would win the competition because nobody would get approved. You scam proof. Like, do you realize, sir? Like, sometimes I want to tell you, like, do you realize, like, you cannot even finance a bottle of water right now the way your credit is right now? I'm talking about to save your life, you cannot finance a bottle of water. That's how bad your credit is. What are we scamming? Like, I don't think people understand. If you had good credit, now you ought to be a little scared.
But if you got
bad credit and the only thing for you is to go up, then what are we scamming? Ain't it's nothing to scam. Bro. You are scam proof. You are good. You're good to go. You can leave your social anywhere. You're good to go. Sometimes I got to give people a reality check. Like, bro, listen, I'm sorry. I'm just here to tell you that you're like literally scam proof. Like, you don't need any identity protection. You don't need none of that. You're scam proof. I'm telling you, Marvin, as harsh as it sounds, it's like, damn. Yeah.
Oh, they gonna flag this interview, dog. This interview's not gonna make it. Okay. So then I'll ask you this. We talked a little bit about just the biggest mistake people are making with credit repair. You're very plugged into the credit restoration space. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on credit sweeps? Because that's also a very controversial topic as well in terms of, like, I'm seeing people that are using, I heard about a human trafficking situation.
Yeah, people use a lot of different things.
A lot of craziness that's going on. Where do you stand when it comes to that? Because I think the reason why credit sweeps are becoming a thing is because when you think about the nature of most people when it comes to their credit, they're more reactive than they are proactive. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure when people come to you, they're like, hey, I want to get my credit repaired. Okay, why? Well, I'm trying to get a house in the next 3 weeks. And it's just like, that's not what this is about to be. Mm-hmm. Or I'm trying to get funding tomorrow. And it's just like, That's not what this process is about to be. So now, in turn, you have people that come in with these credit sweeps, and they're like, hey, I'll do it for you. I'll get your credit clean in the next 72 hours. And for those people, they probably don't even care what methods they're using, because they're like, I just want the result. Where do you stand when it comes to using credit sweeps in the credit restoration space?
When I, those things, like the human traffic and all that funny stuff, man, it's crazy. But, I mean, that's one of the worst things that people can do, right? Mm-hmm. I tell people, if somebody tell you, listen, I'm doing this and that, run away.
Right.
Like, it's literally serious. When somebody say, yo, I'm going to have your credit clean in 1 week or in 72 hours or whatever, you ought to run.
Right.
Because nothing good comes really easy. And if it sounds too good to be true, it might be. Especially because the agency's got about, 30 days to respond to a dispute when the time they receive it. Mm-hmm. If you send it to the CFPB, it's a little different. They may, say give you an update within 7 days or even 15 days. But when it comes to credit sweeping and people doing that, it's a huge gray area.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the trafficking. Yep. Because a lot of times when people do sweeps, those things will come back right on people's credit report, right? Mm-hmm. And also, the trafficking is just crazy. That's another level. It's like, goddamn.
Right.
You risking your freedom for trying to literally help somebody fix their credit. Like, is that even worth your freedom? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's something that I mean, I tell people run away from all that, man. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie, man. Like, I've had people come to me, ask me, "Yo, you do the trafficking to give me?" I'm like, "Nah, not here.
Not here, bro.
Go somewhere else, bro. We don't operate with that." You know what I mean?
How do you advise with clients? We talked about some of the different items. A big one that I hear people in the space talk about a lot is collections. Mm-hmm. So with collections, what's interesting about them is it hurts your report, but then you actually have these agencies that'll call these people, IC system, whoever, and they're like, hey, you owe this $1,000, you owe this $500. And there's a lot of rhetoric online around, well, you don't actually owe that collection company that money. Some people are saying, well, no, you do owe that money. Just because you get it off your report doesn't mean that you don't no longer owe the
debt. That's a big one.
How do you coach around that? Because there's a lot of confusion.
How do I coach clients around that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for me, the way it is that I like to tell clients that, because when the first thing we tell them, like, listen, just know that if you come to us for credit repair, we're not here to eliminate your debt, because we do not eliminate debt. We right. work on negative items that's not accurate, as reporting and incomplete.
Right.
And, items that's basically have so many errors. Those are the things we're going to work on. But
right.
we're not here to eliminate your debt, because we can't do that.
Yep.
You're still liable for that debt. Understand, if it's past the statute of limitation, then, they can't come after you for the debt. It's yep. completely different. We yep. educate them on that. But we're not here to take away the debt from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what a lot of people may think, and mm-hmm. it's not the case. You still owe that debt. If you decide to go settle that debt after it comes off your credit report, that's totally on you. Because what happens is, you don't want something like that to stop you from doing what you need to do. Like, just say that, you're about to apply for a mortgage, or you're about to apply for funding,
mm-hmm.
and you got everything clean off your credit. What happens is, a lot of times, these collection agents, they could sell it to another company.
Yep.
That could be rotated. Or you might have owed Capital One, and you got that account clean off your credit report. And yep. Capital One could sell it to Portfolio Recovery. You can call Capital One and make a settlement when that mm-hmm. account been removed from your report. Why not do that? To prevent them from selling to collection agents and putting it back on your report.
Yeah.
You got to settle the debt if the debt is not on your report. If the items come on your credit report, call them and settle it.
Yeah.
Still take care of that. Because if the item come back on your report in the next few years or next few months and you come back to me, we're going to charge you. Mm-hmm. It's your obligation to take care of your debt. So that's what I usually tell people.
Mm-hmm.
We can get it off your report and work on negative items, but we don't eliminate debt. Those are still your obligations.
What about accounts like student loans? Because I have people that will come to me, and student loans, I feel like, is a double-edged sword.
Oh, nice.
Because, like, on one hand, they help you report, right? Because you're making those payments, and as long as you're paying everything on time is good. But then there's also, like, this big thing with the DTI, to where it's like you have this $50,000 loan that's showing on your report. And for some people, I've had people who've come to me, and even though their student loan is in good standing, they want it off because it's affecting their DTI. Bruh. I don't know if that's something that you've dealt with.
Listen, most of the times when I don't really see people get denied because of student, because with student loans, it's not treated the same way as a different loan.
Right.
Because people can pay the student loans. They can get into programs like income-driven repayment plans. They can put their student loans in deferment. They can put it in forbearance.
Right.
And they can pay it over time. And even, so those don't really affect people as much. I don't know why a lot of times people really want them off their report.
Right.
When student loans, you can't eliminate that. You can't just disappear from the debt. It's federal student loans, right?
Yep.
There's no statute limitation on it. And not only that, when it comes to student loans, what I tell people to do is call them, put them in a payment arrangement, set up those things, and keep it in good standing. Because what happens is, once one account is late, it's gonna report late on many of them, because student loans usually report in a credit report
very true.
Many different times, not just one time, right? So I tell people prevention is better than cure. call them up, take care of that, set up different plans with them. And if you do have a student loan account with late payments, because a lot of people became late after in the beginning, like around March.
Okay.
Started March of 2025 is when people became late, because remember when Biden had the thing where since COVID, people didn't really have to pay their student loans, but they've been warning people for years and years and years. Like I've been sending my clients, make sure you take care of this, put your student loans in good standing, because if not, in March, they're going to get you. And that happens to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But what people can do now is they can call their student loan provider, or they could send them a deferment letter. They can send them a deferment letter, but on the application, a deferment or a hardship letter if they weren't working at the time. And on the application, what they could do on the date before their student loan late payments, they can put that as a start date on the application, and they can submit it to the federal to the federal student loan provider. Mm-hmm. And what they do, they do a retroactive they'll backdate it. It'll be retroactive. Right. And they'll be able to remove the late payments that's on that student loan account from like March and whatever time. So they got to make sure that the date that they put on the application, the start date of the deferment, is that date before their late payment showed up. Mm-hmm. And they'll be able to remove a lot of those late payments. I've been doing that for a lot of my clients, by the way, too, as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of people never talked about. They don't really know about that.
Yeah. It's powerful. Okay. So once you work with somebody, you give them the foundation on how to structure their credit, you help them get their credit restored, and they're applying for these credit builders, and then they start going for some of these primary lines of credit. How do you coach individuals who, let's say I go and apply for a credit card and I get approved, but I only get approved for $2,000, $3,000. And I'm seeing everybody else getting these $10,000, $20,000 crazy limits. What are some of the different things that you're normally seeing in individuals who are getting lower limits that want to be able to get higher limits on those cards, and that they can, different things that they can do to start getting those limits higher?
Okay. What they can do is, I tell people, if they got the money, because I deal with a lot of clients that do have a lot of money.
Right.
They can go and say, hey, you know, you can go and get a secure credit card and just put down a good amount. You can put down a good amount and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put down $5,000. Put down $10,000. And when you start applying for other cards, they're going to see, all right, this guy got a $5,000 credit card. He got a $10,000 credit card from this company. Now they're going to be able to give you a high limit because they seen that this guy already gave you that. So that's one of the ways, right? And then another way that somebody can do is they can say, you know what? Let me use my cards, pay it off, use it, pay it off. And a lot of times what people are not doing, they're not requesting limit increases every 91 days. Yeah. Everybody should be doing that. Every 91 days, request a limit increase, man. Because if you're not asking, you're not asking. Why should they give you if you're not asking? And also, I also tell people, because so a lot of times people get credit cards, but their limits are not high and they're not managing it. And they've been having credit cards for so long, and the limit is still the way it's at because they've been carrying balances for quite some time. Who want to give you money if you owe anybody money? Mm-hmm. It's like, if you owe me $1,000 and you still haven't paid me my $1,000 and you pay me little by little, you can't come in and ask me for more money when you haven't took care of your obligation yet.
Right.
It's very similar to the lenders. Take care of those credit card balances, use those on payment full, and start requesting limit increases. And once they start to increase your limit, now you can apply for other accounts too as well. And another one is a great one too as well. I don't think many people know about this one. This one is one of my favorites. What I do use, it's a company called First Tech Credit Union. Mm. I don't know if you know about First Tech, but First Tech is super amazing. They'll give you a limit, a credit card limit based on your cash flow. Mm. So if you say you're making money, you know, you have decent cash flow and you feel like that money is not enough for me, you fly up a First Tech Credit Union. Once you apply, they'll tell you exactly what limit you got. And I've been seeing people get approved for $10,000 to $20,000. Most people I'm seeing got approved for $20,000 on their first credit card. Mm-hmm. Like literally their first credit card, because their cash flow is they're cash flowing. Mm-hmm. So First Tech Credit Union is a pretty good one. And then after, they'll ask you, do you want to join it as a member, or do you want to donate $5 to like a charity organization, a gym membership, and things like that. And then you get approved for that card. Now you can go and apply for other credit cards as well. Another one is also Four-Leaf Credit Union. Four-Leaf Credit Union is a pretty good one too as well. They do the same thing as First Tech Credit Union. They'll approve you a lot of times based on your limit. Based on your cash flow, you just got to enter your bank account. They got to see that you have cash flow going in.
Right.
And I've been using that for a lot of people to start them off with high-limit credit cards.
Mm.
Yeah. Good one, huh?
This is smooth.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Do you, with you being in the space as long as you have, there are a lot of people who may watch this episode and say, like, you know, I want to get into this space. I want to start a credit business myself. Do you think everyone is cut to get or start a credit business? Where do you stand when it comes to that?
It's about discipline. The good thing is that You know what's crazy, Marvin? But for years and years and years, right? People been asking me, like, Ali, when you going to teach? When you going to teach? I'm going to pay you $10,000 till you can teach me. I'm like, bro, I'm not, no, not right now. I'm not teaching right now. Right. I'm not teaching. But I recently just started teaching people, and I started helping people get into the credit space and, you know, teaching them how to run the business the way I'm running it, how to hire staff members, how to, you know, set up SOPs, how to hire operations manager, and how to run the whole business, how to run the ads, how to market organically. Because my business has been doing pretty good. My business is making over six figures a month. You know what I mean?
Congratulations,
and not too
brother.
Many people can say that in their, in their credit business. You know? Right. So I would say for those that want to start up the business, it's a very lucrative business. It's a, you know, you got to be willing to help people out. You got to be dedicated to it as well, because you get what you put in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get what you put in. So you can, it's a very easy business to start, Marvin. It's an extremely easy business. So those that want to start, I would say, you know, start learning about the basics of credit. Invest into like a mentor, because sometimes what people want to do is they try to figure out on their own when they don't really have the answers.
Right.
I tell people invest into a mentor, because that's what I did. I spend over $100,000 on mentorship. You know, people may try to figure out on their own. They don't realize that it's much longer. Why not use a GPS? So right now, if I had a GPS right now, and I had, if I gave you a GPS and I gave, or I gave you the map, you know, the ones you used back in the days,
school,
like get off on exit this, get off on exit that, and I'll tell you which one would you rather use. And I give you two. I'm sure you'll use a GPS anytime, because it's going to tell you exactly how long it's going to take you to get there, what route you got to go to. It's going to tell you exactly everything you need to know. So I'll tell people, you know, invest into a mentor, man. That's what I did. So I'm not going to tell people to do something I ain't do. I invest into a mentor. And that made me my investment back in, I don't know how many times, 100 times, you know?
You said something key there, and where you talked about learning how to grow a business and hiring and things of that nature. I'll ask you, what's become a reoccurring question on the Marvin Francois show? Let's say, so in the business, you have three departments.
Yeah.
You have sales, you have marketing, you have operations, right? Let's say you need to hire an employee for each, and you have an A player, so star talent, B player, he's all right, he's solid, and C player, like, I mean, you here, right? You're just a mediocre employee, but you can only choose one for each of your departments. Where's your A player going? Where's your B player going? And where's your C player going?
So you said we got the A player, who's a star.
Star. But he's like, wherever you put him, he's going to shine, whether it's sales, marketing, operations. And then you have B player. He's all right. Like, he gets the job done. And then you have a C player who's just like, bro, to be honest, you're only here because I haven't found somebody to replace you yet. Like, you're mediocre at best, right? Where are you putting each of these individuals?
That's a pretty good question, but I ain't going to lie. The star player, I'm going to put him in, disputes.
So you're going to put him in operations?
Operations. And The reason why I'm going to put him in operations and running things, because obviously I was going to say, you know what, my star player, I'll put him in sales.
Mm-hmm.
But then you making the money, but you're not able to produce and get the results. So it's all about the results, because what happens is once you're getting your clients the results that they need, they're going to continue to come back to you. And then that product is going to be a great product that sells itself, right?
Yes.
So I would put that star in. That star player, the best player, I'll put him in the back end where he's able to get results and provide. Because even if you're doing what you got to do, even those few people that's in the business, because the person that's not all that might be doing sales, but he's not all that. But those very few people is going to continue to bring you more and more and more clients, because, you know, you were able to provide the services and you were able to do it at a high level, right? So that alone is good, because a lot of my clients do come from like referrals. So that's how I would do that. They come from referrals, especially when they're happy. They're going to be referring people to you for life. They'll be referred for life. A lot of our clients come from referrals.
Just strictly referrals?
A lot of referrals, a lot of affiliate partners and things like that, but a lot of referrals. And also like social media marketing, ads and running ads, at the DMs, going back and forth with them with appointment setter, putting them on the calendar and vetting them out, putting them on the calendar for the sales agent. Then we got the onboarding specialist. But like to get back to your question, the star player is in dispute. The ones that's okay might be doing sales.
You know? The B player would be sales, or is it the C player that's doing sales?
Nah, the C player may be doing sales.
Okay.
You know, because remember, the business is going to sell itself when people are getting results.
Okay.
And then the B player may be doing operations, because operations is extremely important.
So you mean marketing, because we got sales, marketing, operations. So the A player went to operations for disputes. The C player, you're saying, is going to sales, so the B player will go to marketing, or
all right. So for me, the B player will go to.
And there's no right or wrong answer. It's all preference.
The B player will probably go to marketing.
The B player is going to marketing. Yeah, so yeah. your C player is going to sales. Your B player is going to marketing. The A player is going to operations.
Because the sales guy is going to be able to close something. He's still going to be able to close some things.
Okay.
But the marketing is like the second thing after, like, it's God and it's marketing. You ever heard that saying?
I have.
Huh?
I have.
Without marketing is, what do you
got? Have nothing.
Marketing is everything. So I would say marketing is like the second most important thing right after that. And then, you know, then the sales guy, because he's maybe trash, but he's going to close a few things, and it's right. Like, then I'll be letting him know, like, yo, bro, listen, I know your numbers ain't all that, but just now, I'm probably going to tell him, but I'll maybe look for somebody else after. Mm-hmm. But as long as you got the marketing good and you got the product good, then that's good. Now the sales agent is going to be able to close more. If he's not, I'll be able to get somebody that's going to be able to close much better. But it's all about being for the people, though.
That's it.
So that's what it is. So for me, it's marketing about providing a service for people, because when somebody pays you, when you take somebody money, you take their problem, especially with credit repair. Once you take their money, you take their problems. So you have a problem to fix. Mm-hmm. And my job is to get that problem fixed. Mm-hmm. So I got to make sure my A player is the ones that's getting results. I am not mad at that. I hope you like the order.
I'm not mad at that. To piggyback off of that, I made my first six figures in business and I knew nothing about sales. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I was able to do it was because of what you talked about, marketing and operations. Mm-hmm. So like at the time, I was just really good at making content and we were able to deliver results. I didn't know nothing about an objection handle or sales scripts or anything else like that. So for the average person, to your point, if the product is good,
it sells itself.
It's going to sell itself.
The marketing is going to sell too. And the product is good. It's going to sell itself.
Right.
So the sales agent could be a little trash, but it's still, he's trash, but because I know the product is good, because Mike told me he went through you guys.
Right.
I'm already sold. You don't need 100%. To sell me. I'm sold already. I'm ready to buy. Just tell me where I got to buy.
Bro, when I first started in the space, if you listen to my sales calls when I was first getting into the credit space, 90% of them was people like, yeah, I saw the dude on YouTube with the mustache. And so they already had like a familiarity with me. Or it was people like, yeah, I have so-and-so that's enrolled with you guys' company. They sent me over here.
Yeah.
90. So to where my salesperson wasn't even selling. Like he was literally just onboarding them into the company.
Yeah.
So once again, to your point, where when the product's good, the business is going to sell.
I guess that was a good order, man.
That was a good, I'm not mad at the order. I'm not mad at that order. Not mad at the order at all. So now another thing though, you talked about, you wouldn't be at the point that you're at right now if it wasn't for you investing in mentorship.
Yeah.
Right. You talked about it.
And a team too. My team.
Investing it. So now this now segues to my next question, right? Because as entrepreneurs, we're always growing, we're always investing, right? In ourselves and also in our business. So I ask you this, right? You have relationships, you have your business, and you have mentorship. These are three things that you've invested in consistently in your entrepreneurial journey. If you had to put those in order in terms of highest return on investment to lowest return on investment, what would that order be? So once again, investing into relationships, investing into your business, and investing into mentorship, highest return, this one, I've gotten the biggest return on investment, second biggest return, third biggest return. What would that order be for you?
Marvin asked some good questions. That's one thing, man. I would say the first one would probably be, I say mentorship.
Okay.
Mentorship got me into, I'd say the first one's probably mentorship. The second one, I would probably say, definitely mentorship. Mentorship got me. That's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships is a huge one too. Relationships is a huge one. I ain't gonna lie. That's tough. Relationship and then the business part. Relationship will get you into doors that, you know, money can't really get you into.
Right.
A lot of times. I'd say business.
Business is third or?
I would say business second. Because business, I say business second and I say relationship third. Because business is, when you invest into your business and doing what you got to do and, you know, making sure your product is where it needs to be, it's going to create a lot of relationships for you.
Mm.
It's created a lot of relationships for me. It's created a whole lot of relationships for me. So one of my, relationships is, one of my guys is super big real estate developer. You know, the name Eric Crutchfield, he's super big. He's in
I think
Dallas,
I've heard
Texas.
Of him, yeah.
Yeah, he's super big.
Yeah.
But just say, you know, somebody come to you, you take care of their situation or you take care of others around them.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is because your business was good and the product was good, it opened the door for that relationship.
Mm.
You understand? So you got to be able to deliver. And people know that you're able to deliver now. So now you got a solid relationship because of that. And now more doors open up for you. So I'll say mentorship, then I say
business, and then relationship.
Because the business that you do a good business is going to eventually open more doors for you. Mm. Then I have a lot more other relationships that was built because I was able to do good business.
I'm not upset at that order.
So that's why I have that order like that.
I'm not upset at that order.
But mentorship, Marvin.
It's nothing
like
that.
That's extremely key, bro. Because what you don't know is what you don't know. It's that GPS that you can use to take that shortcut. I want to take the shortcut. I don't want to be on. I'd rather take that fast pass. When you get out, you know, when you get on Six Flags and you're like, damn, man, like this was me in Six Flags, man. Before I used to honestly cut that line, man. When I was younger, I'm like, yo, I ain't going to lie, man. Listen, that line is long as hell. Let me find an excuse and let me get to the front because I'm not going to be in for two or three hours. And then as I got older, I'm like, yo, you know what? I can't just cut the line like that. Cause somebody might put feet and hands on me, man. You know what? Let me just get that flash pass. And that flash pass would literally get you to that shortcut. So the mentorship is literally that flash pass.
I love that.
And it's saving you years and years of mistakes. So, you know, I tell everybody they need to invest into it. And my first one, to be transparent, my first mentorship that I got into, bro, it was crazy because me from the Bronx, New York, obviously I'm looking at so many people like, yo, I don't want to get scammed or anything like that. So what I did was I went half on a mentorship with one of my guys, man. I was like, yo, bro, I ain't gonna lie, man. A lot of people won't tell you that. I'm like, yo, listen, bro, this was going on. You want to get in? I want to get in. Let's go half, man. We go half in this and let's make it do what it do. We ain't got it like that, but we both want it. And I went crazy inside of it. And then me just paying half, years later, I'm just paying full amounts for mentorships. I'm over here investing 25Ks in mentorships and things like that because I know what it's going to get me. It's going to give me a return on my investment. And if you do not invest, the government is going to take that shit anyway. So why not put it into something that's going to bring me more money in the future, right?
100%. 100%. Yeah. This is good. This is good. So at this stage, with everything you've been through from D to D to the success you've had in the credit space and beyond, what would you say is your North Star? What legacy are you working to leave at this point going forward in everything you're doing?
The legacy I'm looking to leave right now is for, you know, it's for my family and for others to know, like, you can come from the gutter, the bottom of the bottom, and still make something happen, especially with people that look like me. The reason why, and also, you know, those that's coming into, like, I didn't even tell you, Marvin, my favorite clients are actually people that was in jail. People that was in jail, those are my favorite clients, man. So I like to show people, like, you can still leave a legacy for yourself even if you have a felony. A felony only means entrepreneurship. That's all it really means. You got to turn that F into an E. That felony, when you when you're trying to apply for jobs and they're not, and they're like, no, we can't hire you because you're a felon, but you went to jail and you rehabilitate yourself and now you're trying to be an active member of society. Forget that. When they say no, you create a way for yourself. Entrepreneurship. And you can do that through credit. You can go to the banks, you could get funding, you could build up your credit report, and you could do all of this and nobody's telling you, oh, I'm sorry, but you know what? You have a felony. I'm sorry, we can't lend to you, or you can't get fix your credit, or you can't build your credit up because you have a felony. No, with credit, it push on an even playing field with everyone. Like, you're literally in an even playing field. Now it's like, it's not about being white or black, none of that. It's about what's on your credit report. What is your resume like? You know what I mean?
Right.
So that puts you on an even playing field where you can go get leverage money from the banks and you can create an opportunity for yourself so you can make a legacy for your kids, where now you can have a felony and you can hire somebody with a college degree without a felony or a record.
Facts.
So now it's your way to make way for yourself. So those are my favorite clients. And for me, it's all about creating a legacy, showing others that they can do this and this is all possible. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's completely possible, bro. Like, I travel a lot. I don't know if you see me on social media. I'll be out of here.
Yeah, I'll be out. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm free. I have a team. My team is able to do so much. I have a full team. Most of my staff members is in Jamaica. A lot of people don't even know that. A lot of people we hire VAs in the Philippines. My staff is mainly in Jamaica. They got the same time zone as us in the U.S. So they're not sleepy. Why are you talking to somebody in the Philippines? They might be sleeping while you're here. That's why a lot of times they be here making excuses. Yeah, boss, I can't make it today. It's like, bro, what you mean you can't make it? Yeah, this happened. It's not that. They just tired and sleepy.
Right.
But they got the great work ethic. But for me, I hire a lot of people from Jamaica.
Right.
Most of my staff members is from Jamaica. I have a full team. I have like 10 to 12 people on my team. I wouldn't be able to do this on my own. So I didn't need a college degree to do this, Marvin. I didn't have to have any, like, I dropped out of college. I didn't graduate college. But I can say that, you know, my business makes seven figures in a year and without a college degree. You can do it with a felony. You can do it with everything. No excuses. It's all about you, though. Are you willing to change yourself? Are you willing to invest in yourself? Or you have the proper mindset? Are you willing to say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired?
Yeah.
You know, a regular 9 to 5 is not making it for me. I'm tired of having somebody tell me exactly what to do. I can't live my life like this. I want to be able to be free. I want to be able to travel the world. I want to be able to have my laptop and work in Africa. I want to be able to work in Italy with my laptop. This is the life I want to live, because a lot of people are not able to travel because they don't have the time freedom to.
Yeah.
Even their job, they may tell them, yo, you're only able to, you could work all year, but you got a vacation for 1 week. Like, 1 week? Are you serious?
Mm.
How can I even attend my daughter's event? How can I do this? How can I do that if you only give me 1 week?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, man.
Mm.
Create a legacy for yourself through credit, man.
Powerful. Powerful, brother. As we start to close, my last question for you.
Damn, we closing already, Marvin?
I mean, I
but Marvin, I want to spend time with you, Marvin.
I mean, listen.
I don't want to go anywhere, Marvin.
We might have to do a part two. But my last question for you, as you're sitting there, if you were sitting in my seat and sitting across from you was Ali 10 years into the future, yeah. And he dropped in, and you could only ask him one question, and he could only answer you back in one sentence. What would you ask him, and what do you think his answer would be?
If I could ask Ali
10 years into the future. No, not ago. 10 years into the future, he drops in. So you 10 years into the future, he drops in. You can only ask him one question, and he can only answer back in one sentence. That's it. What would you ask Ali 10 years into the future, and what do you think his answer would be? And it can only be one sentence.
I would ask him, okay, I would ask him, are you completely happy with the decisions you made the decisions you made over the last 5 to 10 years? I mean, in the past 5 to 10 years, are you happy with the decisions?
Hmm.
Because the reason why I ask him that question is because I tell people is that when you're born, who do you look like? When you're born, you look like your mom or your dad, right?
Yeah, facts.
Huh? When you're born, you look like your mom or dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part is that when we're born, we look like our parents, yep. But when we die, we look like our decisions.
Yeah.
So, are you happy with the decisions that you've made within the last 5 to 10 years to get you to where you're at now?
Mm.
That's what I would ask myself, and the answer would be, it'll be yes.
That's it.
Yeah, it'll be yes.
I love it.
Because I'm happy with myself from where I was in the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing door-to-door. Now I'm doing this, around a 7-figure business.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in the next 5 years, it's going to get even crazier.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not stopping. My foot is completely on the gas.
Mm-hmm.
So I will ask myself, am I happy with the decision I made within the last few years?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe my answer would be yes.
Powerful. Ali.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the show, my brother. Your camera right here. I know we have to get you out of here, but your camera here. Let the people know where they can find you, what you're doing, and how they can get connected with you.
For you guys on here, first off, I want to thank Marvin for having me on here. Got to give him his flowers. Marvin been doing it for quite some time. Marvin is one of those that I've been watching since the beginning.
Yeah.
Since I got in my credit journey before I even hired a mentor, I've been watching Marvin. I've been looking at Marvin videos and things like that. And Marvin has a big part of what I'm doing now. And he has a big role into me becoming who I am today. And I want to give him the flowers in front of everybody, right? Now I want to say to you guys can find me at The Only Prince Ali. And you guys know, I've also been teaching others how to start the business, like I've been, you know, getting the space I'm doing. And then the good thing is that I've been partnering with Jmappy. Mm. You know, he's one of my best friends, J-Map, right?
Yeah.
Jmap, he's my day two, but one of my close friends. So we made a lot of money together.
Mm-hmm.
He's been teaching others how to do funding.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been partnering together, and I've been dealing with the credit space. Jmap been dealing with the funding. So a lot of times people been getting 2-for-1 special. They've been getting 2 coaching for the price of one.
Mm.
But obviously, you know, prices is definitely going up. Price is definitely up now. But to have the best of both worlds, meaning me and credit, you guys are mapping in
funding.
In funding and having both of us where we basically focus on like up making systems where you don't got to work in your business. You can work on your business because a lot of entrepreneurs are working in their business, not on their business, which they're completely doing it wrong. That's what we've been specializing in, helping others change their life and be able to take care of their families and loved ones as well. And yeah, so that's basically it, man. Y'all can find me on Instagram and coaching others now, teaching others how to do the same thing I've been doing and still saving many lives one person at a time, man.
Yep. Let's go. My guy, Ali, I appreciate you.
I appreciate
you. More importantly, everyone that's watching at home, I appreciate each and every single one of you guys. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, hit that subscribe button, tell a friend to come back, rewatch the episode again. As always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois. That is my good friend, Prince Ali. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Yeah. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time, peace.
See you again.